Welcome to At Work in America, sponsored by Paychex. At Work in America digs in behind the headlines and trends to the stories of real people making a difference in the world of work. And now, here are your hosts, Steve Bowes and Trish Steed.
Welcome to the At Work in America show. Another great show today. Trish Steed, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I feel like it's been a while. We had a crazy run of travel and events and hijinks and hullabaloo even, Trish. But
my goodness.
It settled down slightly.
I counted 6 trips in 5 weeks for myself. So I think you had similar.
Yeah, too many. And still more to come. More on that later, including a road trip coming up that we're both really excited about and hopefully do some really cool content. But we'll talk about that later. Trish, we need to thank our friends at Paychex, of course, right? We got a chance to meet with them at HR Tech. Did a really cool video, by the way. I'm going to promote that video real quick. It's on our LinkedIn page. Our company LinkedIn page is the best way to find it. It's also on the h3hr.com website, a little demo I did with Nathan Shapiro at Paychex about some of the new benchmarking and HR analytics solutions. Check that out. It's like 7 minutes long. It's fantastic. And thank you, Nathan and Paychex, for doing that. And of course, this episode is sponsored by our friends at Paychex. Trish, one of the leading providers of HR, payroll, retirement, and insurance solutions for businesses of all sizes. You think stress-free payroll is impossible? Whether you need to simplify your tax filing or streamline your day-to-day pay system, Paychex makes managing your payroll easier and more profitable. From self-service employee portals to automated processes, our services can save time and money while giving you peace of mind that everything is up-to-date and accurate. Trish, you know who else needs accurate pay? Who cares about that?
Who else cares about accurate pay?
A whole generation does. Gen Z cares about that. They care
That's
about
right.
accurate pay.
And I'll tell you what, I think I heard rumor that one of our guests actually uses Paychex, so we'll have to confirm that.
We'll dig into that and the other nonsense Gen Z is up to in a second, but please do visit our friends at Paychex. You can get a complimentary digital W-2s if you sign up now. Go to paychex.com/AWIA. That's paychex.com/AWIA. Terms and conditions apply, but thanks to our friends at Paychex. And all kidding aside, if you want accurate payroll, up-to-date payroll, services just beyond customer service beyond a comparison, check out our friends at Paychex. So good stuff by them.
Absolutely. Yes. You know what? I mean, I kept going back to their booth at HR Tech and just kind of plopping myself down and working from their booth. So thank you to them for that as well. They're just a great group of people.
They are. And speaking of a great group of people, Trish, all our co-hosts on the HR Happy Hour Network. And we are today being joined by two of those hosts on the HR Happy Hour Network. They are the hosts of the Play by Play podcast. First, let's welcome Jack McFarland. Jack is a business major at the University of Utah. Go Utes. He loves football, golf, and hanging out with friends. That's a pretty busy plate you've got there, Jack. Jack, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. And let's welcome Nick Schlemmer. Nick is currently attending the University of Nebraska, who's on a winning streak, by the way, and pursuing a degree in professional golf management with a minor in hospitality. Some of his hobbies are living a healthy lifestyle. I don't know if that's really a hobby, Nick. Golfing and podcasting, of course. Nick, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Trish, I want you to maybe kick us off because the impetus for this show was a milestone in the history of the play-by-play. And I know it is important to you. I'd love for you to talk about that.
It is. So the play-by-play that the boys started was just over a year ago. I think the other day was their actual official 1 year anniversary of being podcasters, which I just want to say, if anyone is not familiar, that is a huge milestone. Most people actually stop podcasting within the first 3 months of starting, and a few more make it to the 6 month mark. So the fact that these two young men have made this a whole year with no stopping in sight, I believe, their show keeps getting better and better. And so at first I want to congratulate both of you, Jack and Nick. What a huge accomplishment. Did you ever think you'd be doing this a year? Jack, how about you?
I think when we first started, I like to imagine what it would be like in a year or even after just 6 months, but it didn't really seem real. And then now that the year has come and gone, it went by in like the blink of an eye. I think the biggest thing that we do is like, we just really enjoy making the podcast, which maybe is a problem for others. Like they might see it as like, oh, we have to make money or something, but we just really enjoy doing it. And so we take it episode by episode and we have a great time with it.
Perfect. Nick, what about you? I mean, you've been doing this a whole year. Did you ever think you'd be at this milestone already?
No, like Jack said, it flew by. Like it's just become part of my weekly life. It's like, oh, we have to get ready for the podcast. Like, oh, I get to record this week. Like this is going to be fun. Like, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to do? It's just, it's been a blast. And like Jack said, it's flown by.
I love that. Steve, I know, you know, there are many times in our podcasting life, right? We've been doing this about almost 15 years. And there were times it's difficult. It's not just an easy, fun thing, right? Everyone sort of hears the end result, but there's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes. And I know you and I have both had moments where we've been like, oh my gosh, should we stop this, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's to do one week by week and to do it well and to kind of put the effort into it that you need to create something that's not just a quality, but compelling and fun and interesting. And when you start introducing guests into the mix. Now, Trish, we usually have guests on the show, and I know the guys can talk about this. Some, they sometimes have guests, sometimes they don't. But when you start welcoming guests into the mix, that's a whole nother level of work to do. So yeah, it's much more work than most people think. And I think that's a testament to, I mean, the huge percentage of podcasts that just go away, right? They go away after one episode or two episodes. Some of it is, you know, maybe they're just not catching on, or the hosts don't give them enough time to catch on. But I think another part of the reason is the amount of work that really goes into it that people underestimate. So it's kudos to the guys for keeping it up for a year, because honestly, they do, is it 99% of the work on it? Like, we helped them get their start on the network way back when, but I know I don't do a thing to help them at this point. So
you share it on social.
They're running it themselves. Yeah. And I did post, and I want to have the guys weigh in here in a second. I did share their most recent show on LinkedIn. And one of the things I shared was, hey, this is like a great milestone. The guys have been at this a year. But the thing that I wrote is particularly, right, because we're an HR podcasting network primarily, right? Most of our shows are about work and the workplace. And one of the things people who talk about work love to talk about these days is our Gen Z and Gen Z issues. And I think I put something on LinkedIn like, you know, other people like to speculate or talk about Gen Z. Like, we have Gen Z people talking themselves. Listen to them directly. So maybe that's my first question for the guys. And I'll throw it to you, Jack, first is, yeah, what's the show kind of the ethos, the mindset? What are you guys trying to bring forward, especially to our audience, right, on the network, who quite frankly are a lot of older folks like myself and Trish?
Yeah, I think if we had to boil it down to one thing, it would just be maybe the mindset of Gen Z would be the best way I would describe it. Like if we take our last episode where we wanted to talk about marketing. And so when we're researching for it and stuff, we just couldn't find anything other than like brand marketing. But we were looking for more, you know, that business side of attracting Gen Z. And there's just nothing out there. So we want to be the voices for our generation and let companies know, hey, this is what we like. This is what we're looking for. This is what interests us, you know, because Gen Z is very different than any other generation. So we just want to put all that information out there for everyone to use.
Yeah. Nick, what's like you're trying to, your point of view as a Gen Z, or like, what do you like to bring forward on the podcast and hope people take away from it?
Yeah. I mean, just like Jack said, we just like to put our point of view into everything in the business world, marketing world, or even just generic lifestyle and everyday life. I mean, everything we talk about, we always try to put our viewpoints and what our generation mainly thinks about certain aspects. And yeah, I think he hit it right on the nail, with just hitting our point of view.
You know, Nick, one of the things when we started this a year ago, it was really a bit of an experiment. And, you know, we talked about what should the show be about, and it was all on you guys to come up with, you know, how you were going to handle this. We've maybe given a few pointers here and there, but one of the things I've seen evolve in this year is that focus on how things do relate back to a business point of view. Can you talk a little bit maybe about how the show has grown in the year? Because it started certainly a little more fun. Not that you don't still have fun segments, but maybe talk about how that has shifted tying things back to business.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like you said, in the beginning, the show just started off as just me and Jack kind of getting the hang of things, right? Learning how to put on a podcast and having fun with it. Because I get in the beginning, I feel like even maybe for you guys too, like at the beginning, it was to have some fun with it. It was something new to start. And now I think especially with having special guests on the show, learning their aspects and what information they brought kind of helped me and Jack tie into the business world using what we've learned from them. And then also what we know and what our generation thinks is bringing that all back together.
Yeah, absolutely. Jack, I know for you, I mean, you had thought about, or at least talked about potentially taking some sort of a broadcast angle before you started college, right? And so kind of went a different direction, more of a general business at this point as you're figuring it out. But would you say there are benefits to being a podcaster when it relates to what you're studying in school or how you prepare for what you're studying? Is there a benefit, or is it not really tied to school at all?
I'd say the benefit that I see the most would be on like public speaking side of things. So if you're giving a presentation or doing group work in class, like I've noticed in this past year of podcasting, and I've always been a decent public speaker, but now it's just like second nature for me. So, you know, I could speak in front of the class, no problem. I don't get stage fright or anxiety about it. And then also at Utah, they are now offering like classes in VR and classes in AI and all this stuff that we've already covered on the podcast. So now I'm seeing like topics that we've been talking about really starting to be implemented into the real world. And that excites me a lot. I'm like, wow, we must really be, you know, on the right track if it's starting to come into school and stuff. So that makes me excited too.
Yeah, that's great. I think it's anytime college students particularly, right, have a creative outlet outside of the normal coursework, I can see just huge benefits in that, whether it's podcasting or writing or artwork or even playing sports, which I suppose isn't a creative outlet, but still an outlet outside of the classroom, right? Because I know back when I was in school, it was pretty easy to just try to grind through those classes and not do much else. And, it was a wasted opportunity, I suppose, right? Not taking advantage of some of these other things that you could do outside of the classroom, because honestly, it sets you apart too. It's a little bit distinctive to be able to put that on your profile or on your resume, right? I think. So that's a good thing as well. All right. So I want to talk to the guys about some of the highlights from the past year. As you look back on, say, give me a show or two. I'll start with you, Nick. Give me a show or two shows or guests. What's been a highlight for you? What stands out for folks who are just maybe getting introduced to you guys on the play-by-play? You know, because we have new listeners all the time, and it's easy to forget that. What show would you say, go back in the archive and listen to this one?
I would say going back pretty early on was our show with Big Brothers and Big Sisters, like Jack mentioned, with Tawana Myers. I really enjoyed having her as a guest on the show. She was our second guest, I believe, that we did. And just learning all about her organization and what she does and how it ties back to the schools and everything, it was great. So I would totally recommend, if you haven't heard anything from us, go and check that show out for sure.
Nice. Jack, you have one that you'd like to call out as well for folks, maybe to go back in the archive and take a listen to if they haven't yet?
Yeah, if you're looking for a guest episode, I 100% agree with Nick. That was such a blast to record, and it was like so easy, and we just had a great conversation for 40-50 minutes with her, and that is a great episode to listen to. But if you want just me and Nick, I think I love our year in review.
Yeah, that was a good
starting the new year was really fun. I can't wait for, you know, in a month or two, we're going to go back and see what our predictions, what panned out. I think that was a really fun one. Anything with a game time, that is my favorite segment. All our game times are so much fun. And then Nick singing in our last one was my favorite moment the whole year. That was the best.
So Jack, you mentioned game time. Again, a lot of people, you have a ton of listeners. You're getting probably 2,500 to 3,000 downloads and listens per episode, which for a year-old podcast is phenomenal. But like Steve mentioned, you might have some people who aren't familiar with you yet. Can you describe game time and what you all do in that segment?
Yeah, game time. I mean, what don't we do in game time? We have done guess the price. We did college mascots. It's just a way that, we can end the show on a really high, fun note that can get the audience involved, because we make it to where everyone can play along. And we've just started doing, like, with Nick singing, introducing like punishments for the winner or loser. So now it gives a little extra incentive to, really crush the game times. But we think it's a great way to end the show on a high note.
Well, I have to tell you too. I mean, sometimes Nick wins, sometimes you win game time. Every single time I listen, I actually play along, and you all both beat me every single time. So these are not easy answers, right? It's a little bit of trivia, it's a little bit of maybe estimation on certain games that you play, but it really is fun, and you're right, it does bring people into the conversation. Nick, what do you think about game time? I know it kind of gets it ebbs and flows, right, as to who's on top, but overall, how do you like game time?
I love doing game times. I mean, like you said, I've had mainly ups and downs. I've lost so many. Jack has just been kicking my butt here recently with the game times, but they're a blast. And like tying it back to the audience and you playing along with us as well is like, I love to hear that. And they've just been so much fun to do.
Yeah, that's a really fun segment, and it's a good way to inject some fun into the show, right? And it's a super idea. I was so glad when I heard it for the first time, and I give you guys credit for coming up with it. As you think about moving forward, right, into next year and beyond, right, where you might want to take the show, is there some things you're thinking about for next year you might want to do, and maybe some new features, or maybe a dream guest that you'd say, boy, a guest, this particular guest, or maybe someone who does a certain type of job or involved in certain industries? Or Nick, you're nodding, so I'll go to you first. Is there someone on the list or something you're thinking about for next year?
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to next year for what me and Jack can put together. And some of the things that I've been thinking about is I want to do just more guest shows. I love speaking with other people, learning what they know, and just getting to interact with them. And but also I would love to have another guest on the show that has a podcast and just talk about podcasting and what's it done for them, just like we're doing today, but flip the roles to where we're hosting them. I think that could be a fun time as well. And my dream guest, this was a tough choice because I've way too many people that I look up to and want to be like, but I don't know if you've heard of him, but excuse me, his name is David Goggins, is my dream guest to have on the show. He is a retired Navy SEAL, motivational speaker, working out, healthy lifestyle kind of guy. Just, I would love to talk with him on the show.
We might be able to make that happen. Sounds
I
like
was
something
gonna
we could put
say,
together.
I think the producer can absolutely make that happen, right? Jack, how about you? I mean, obviously you've got a lot of ideas too for the show. What direction do you hope it goes in the coming year, and who would your dream guest be?
Yeah, I agree with Nick. I think we should definitely do more guest shows. We started out our first couple of episodes, it was pretty split. And then I think we wanted to kind of grow our podcast at first just with us. So that's what we've really been focusing on. And I really like the point it's at. So we're going to definitely try to get some more really good, exciting guest episodes. For dream guest, I mean, if I had to pick just a dream guest, I think I would choose like Steve Carell. I think he's like the funniest guy ever. Maybe Will Ferrell's pretty funny too, but more realistic podcast guest that I've been trying to get in touch with. I can't do it. I've been trying through LinkedIn, but his name is Ryan Gardner, and he is the CEO of Bucked Up, which is like, pre-workout protein, very, like Nick likes the healthy lifestyle living. And the headquarters is about 5 minutes from my apartment.
Wow.
So it's Utah based. It's a smaller company. Like I'm very close to it. And so I've been trying to get in touch with them. So maybe it will happen this year.
I feel like we could help with that one as well. These are realistic dream guests, right? These are people who I think would be more than happy to come on a Gen Z podcast and talk about, their business and maybe how Gen Z is, a question mark for them as well, right? As Steve mentioned at the beginning of the show, it's something that every single conversation I've had with companies in our industry are certainly wondering. What Gen Z wants, what they think, how should they be hired, how should they be paid, right? All the questions. What benefits are important to Gen Z? So think,
Oh yeah. I mean, you think about some of the workplace stories, Trish, this past year or last couple of years through the pandemic. I mean, I would say 2/3 of the kind of buzzy kinds of workplace stories emanate from Gen Zers making TikTok videos, right? And because that's where all these terms came from, like quiet quitting and lazy girl job, right? And what was the other one that just popped up the other day? Something about Mondays, low maintenance Monday, or don't do anything on Monday. I forget what the with that. Maybe you guys know. I don't know. Nick's laughing. Maybe you know what I'm talking about, right? Like
Low maintenance Mondays.
low maintenance Monday. That's it.
I want low maintenance Monday. That sounds really awesome.
Yeah, and there was just a one. I know this isn't the like the TikTok show, and I got to tell you, I have a very like a sporadic relationship with TikTok, which means I've made two TikToks in my life. One of them was very, very funny, but the there was one that I just read about. I'm reading about this right in the same publications where I get all my kind of big, heavy workplace news and what CEOs are doing and what's happening in business, et cetera. And this was about it was a girl. She was I don't know, call her 23 years old, just got out of college, graduated, and got her first corporate gig, right? Normal kind of 9-to-5 job. And what, I don't know what she was doing, but she had to go there, right? She had to physically go to the office too, which is a drag, I guess, every day. And the TikTok is her like literally just in tears, like lamenting how awful like the entirety of the experience has been for her. Like,
Oh
you know, I have to,
no.
and you know, she's crying her eyes out. And the old crusty people like myself might look upon this and say, oh, serves her right. You'll figure, you know, that's the real world, blah, 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 blah. But she's really getting a lot of love in the comments and in the stories about it because people are sympathizing and empathizing with her to say, hey, you know what? You're right. So a lot about the corporate world and the real world really does suck. And it's bullshit, excuse my language. And, you know, so we, you're right. So I love how, you know, instead of just me speculating what that might mean, we can look to guys like Nick and Jack and the folks that they talk to on their podcast to understand a little bit more about it because it's a real thing.
Yeah, I think that, you know, just in the last couple of weeks, I've been at two major HR tech events, and at every single event, there are multiple chief marketing officers or heads of sales or, you know, global product leaders who are talking about the fact that they know TikTok is where Gen Z gets a lot of their information. And, you know, Jack and Nick, I know on your last episode, you talk a lot about that everywhere you look on campus, and you're both at two very large schools. You know, everywhere you turn, people your age are looking to TikTok for more than just, you know, a fun dance routine, right? They're looking to it for information. Jack, maybe could you, for anyone listening, could you give them a little bit of kind of as a Gen Z student, what are you looking to get from TikTok that maybe you're not getting from mainstream media like someone my age would get?
Yeah, I think TikTok has really evolved, kind of like you said, how like it used to be, you go on there and look for a fun dance or more like a funny video. And now everywhere you look, every company has, they're really quick, like 6 to 10 second videos, advertising something or some sort of student deal. Like there's a lot of just really short, sporadic clips. And that's what everyone that I see watching TikTok around campus is looking for. Because personally, I don't use TikTok that often. I'm much more of an ESPN app guy myself, so I don't get a lot of news from TikTok. But I mean, just yesterday I was up in school, and half of my math class during class on TikTok. Just you can see him scrolling with AirPods in, like, and it most of it is like branded stuff nowadays, at least from what I can see on other people's screens. So it has really evolved into more of almost like a big commercial.
So, a follow-up question then, Jack. If you're someone my age, Steve's age, right? And you're in a leadership role at whatever organization, and you're currently not making TikTok videos, what is a recommendation you would have for them to get into this without being cringy? I don't even know. I'm so old. I don't even know if the word cringe is like cringe. It
Yeah,
probably
that's huge
is,
on
right? Is that
TikTok. Yep.
gone? Okay.
No,
So,
no.
do they, I mean, obviously, marketing teams spend millions of dollars to get this right, but what I guess my question is, should they be hiring interns or Gen Z, maybe who are still in school part-time, to actually work with them on branding specifically for TikTok or other short format videos? Or is this something that someone my age can learn to do without being sort of out of the loop?
My short answer is no. There's almost zero chance that someone your age that has no idea what TikTok is could go in there and do anything remotely productive, I guess. I mean, it might be a little cringe, but what you see a lot, like if I'm looking on, you know, Indeed or LinkedIn and stuff, there's a lot of social media management jobs that are like interns, like you said. But I would say if you're a company that wants to get on TikTok, you have to hire someone that is in Gen Z. That there's no other way you could do it right, because it would just be cringy, for a lack of a better term.
Nick, you're nodding. What do you think?
No, I completely agree with Jack, to where if you were a company looking to market more directly to our generation, definitely having somebody that knows the different verbiage or wordings that we use, or what kind, even boils down to like how we do our own social media posts, like what kind of fonts and all kinds of background pictures and whatnot, like everything that ties into marketing ties right back to our generation and how we like to see things. So I think having somebody in our generation would make a huge positive impact.
I'm glad you said that too, because I had never really considered even things like backgrounds or fonts or things like that, that would be very generation specific in terms of attracting or holding attention. Last week in an event, I had my daughter, Jack's sister, Carly, there with me. And this is just one tiny example. And it was something, as a 53-year-old woman, it would just never enter my mind. We were walking by a booth, and they had on the backside of the booth, kind of like you would see on a red carpet or something, it said, you know, the name of the company. It was a really cool backdrop, but no one was using it. For that, for people like me, it's the back of the booth, right? She was already thinking about like, oh my gosh, this would be a great place to take a picture. We're missing out on opportunities here. They need better lighting. They could have done this, this, and this that would have made it really easy for someone in my generation to share it. So Jack, I guess my question for you is going to be, when you're in those situations and you're maybe someone who's planning, whether it's an event or just general marketing and branding, are you also of the opinion that a younger person would be able to guide you for what you're looking for even? Because I know in this instance, I would have snapped a selfie and shared it just fine. It wouldn't have bothered me one bit about the lighting or whatever. It seems to me like your generation is much more mindful of a curated experience, or am I just misreading that?
No, I think you're 100% correct. If you were making an event or managing an event, it would be very smart to have at least one younger person on the team to do exactly what Carly did at your event. Cause it can be hard, you know, first glance, oh, that's a cool background. Like, and you know, most people, like you said, might not think of the lighting, but a lot of like younger people will be like, oh, that'd be a great photo, but we need better lighting. Or, you know, like even just the music you're playing in the background. And I think that kind of goes back to TikTok a bit. Like, you know, you got to have specific sounds on TikTok that,
wow,
you know, some Gen Z will like, compared to like a much older song. Like if you were at a convention and there was some song from the 70s playing, you know, someone my age, unless it was a really good song, really popular song, would be like, whatever, they wouldn't think about it. But it's the little things like that where having someone that is actually in Gen Z would really help market towards Gen Z, because it's just some things you don't think of.
Yeah. Steve, I think the difference in just like our podcast and how we do things and the way that they do their podcast also is they're paying attention to all those little details and nuances. I've never really thought about the background music. I've never really thought about some of these things. But question for you, Steve, I mean, do you think it's because when we were that age, when we were in our early 20s and joining the workforce, before the boomers, right, it was the senior generation, they really didn't care what we thought. And we were told, I don't know about you, but like I was told that at my first job, it was like, hey, sit down, shut up, keep your head down. You better be here before your boss gets here. You better stay until after your boss leaves. And like, no one really asked what my opinion was for a very long time. I don't know. Is that like,
yeah, I think that's similar to my experiences in the corporate world, certainly in the first, I don't know, 7, 10 years, even maybe not quite 10 years, but the first 5 years or so I was working in corporate America. I was working for a very, very big company, right?
Yeah.
One that's still around, that everyone's heard, knows their name. And if you ever made a long distance phone call between 1930 and 1980, you probably used them as you were a customer of them. But yeah, you were definitely, there was definitely, the mindset was different, right? The mindset was kind of pay your dues,
Pay
work
your
your way
dues.
up. And pay your dues meant a lot of different things. It meant, it could mean, like you said, Trish, get there early and stay late. It could mean doing the lousy assignments that no one else wanted. It could mean just not
Never
saying a word.
complaining.
You know, I can
Yeah,
recall
never
lots of
complaining.
meetings I sat in and never said a word. You know, you just sat there because, you know, the people who were a level or two or three or whatever it was, you know, more than you. And the last thing I'll say about it, though, what for me personally, and for a lot of people, and I think even it probably the advice would apply today too, like technology was my way to fast track a lot of that stuff, right? Because just like it is today, right, we're talking about TikTok and Gen Z embracing and understanding the ethos of TikTok, you know, more so than older generations. It was the same thing back in the 80s and the 90s, right? When we were getting, instead of TikTok, it was me and Microsoft Excel and, you know, email, quite honestly. Like, I'm so old.
Right.
Like, I can remember when email was just becoming a thing in the
That's
company I
right.
worked for, like, which is shocking. And what's also shocking is it's still a thing. Like, we still email each other all day long, like idiots. But, regardless, right? Embracing those tools helped me j jump out of line maybe a little bit and cut the line to better projects and more cool assignments. So I would say it's probably similar today as well. But yeah,
Yes.
it's really, I'm glad that we have the guys on the network though, because like we made a decision a year ago. And for folks listening to this, who see a lot of other shows in their feed, right? We did the HR Happy Hour show on this same feed since 2009. And if you've been a longtime subscriber over the last few years, you've seen the Play-by-Play show up and the Inclusion Crusade show up and HR Means Business show up and all the other titles on the network. They come on the same feed. And we thought long and hard about doing it differently, right? Creating separate feeds for all these shows. And we thought, no, let's keep it all together on one feed and try to expose the folks who would listen to the HR Happy Hour show for a long time and now the At Work in America show to all these other voices. And I think it's been the right decision. I hope folks appreciate that. And I hope it's done two things, right? It's given guys like Jack and Nick and our other hosts on the network the chance to reach more people, but also given the people who subscribe to the show a chance to hear different voices as well. And in this case, really, really interesting Gen Z voices, which honestly, most people don't really get to hear all that much, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think too, one of the things we wanted to make sure we were doing is that, we're of a certain age, we're very close in age, and we have had a very similar,
I feel quite young though. I'm down at my lowest weight since college, by the way, just FYI. So I'm feeling very,
Well, that's good.
very
But I
fit.
think, you know what? I think that it becomes a little bit of an echo chamber. And so when you hear other podcasts of people our age talking about what Gen Z wants, I really just don't find it as credible. And I think you have to ask Gen Z. And I am excited to say that this is the first time where, I've been going to events and they're talking about what Gen Z wants. But again, you're putting the heads of talent acquisition on stage or the head of HR on stage. They might know a little bit, but you need to get Gen Z workers and students on stage. You need to
For
be
sure.
asking them directly. And so I think Jack and Nick are doing that in a much better way than we could ever cover a Gen Z topic. We
Yeah.
just are not as credible. So, again, kudos to you guys for tackling some of the things that we just can't talk about with credibility.
Chris, let's give the guys the last word before we let them go back to school, work, whatever it is they're doing. We've got so much going on. Nick, I'll throw it to you first. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to promo, maybe shows coming up soon, or give us like 30 seconds here.
It's been great being on the show today, talking to you guys. And like we talked about earlier, this upcoming year, me and Jack, we're just really looking forward to what it brings and what's in store for us and everybody around us listening and what we can bring to them and make their days better and have more fun with our podcast. So looking forward to it.
Love it, Nick. How about you, Jack? Any parting shots for our audience today?
Well, first and foremost, I just want to say a huge thank you, not to just you guys, but everyone listening for giving us this opportunity, because it's not really a podcast if no one's listening to it. So we're me and Nick, we're both incredibly grateful. And then looking towards the future, like we said earlier, lots of guests going to be coming, and also a boost or better performance in audio and stuff. I know the whole network we're going to switch over, so shows will sound even better. And I think we're gonna try and throw in like fun sound effects and custom segment sounds. So a lot of fun stuff in the next year to come.
Good stuff. I love it. Good stuff, guys.
I'm so excited too, Steve, for this because even, he mentions the sound quality and so forth. And you and I take that very seriously, and we always have, but to have younger people who are able to research things in a different way. Jack barely touched the surface earlier. He did mention research. These guys put a ton of time into preparation for their shows, preparation for how things sound. And they're really helpful to us, and they're going to continue to be helpful to our show as well going forward. So I think that's just a testament to if you are not working with people from Gen Z, and I don't mean having them come in and do meaningless work, right? Busy work like we used to do with interns years ago. Hire some Gen Z workers, get their opinions, ask what they think, and really let them sort of lead where things need to be going, because I think that your overall business will be much more successful for it.
Yeah, good stuff. So thanks. Let's thank the guys again, Nick Schlemmer, Jack McFarland, host of the Play by Play here on the HR Happy Hour Media Network. Let's thank our friends at Paychex, of course, for all the support. We've got our year-end show with our good friend Tom Hammond coming up soon. Trish, I know it popped up on my calendar
I
the other day that
know.
we're going to be recording the year-end payroll prep and year-begin preparation show with Tom from Paychex, which is an annual tradition here on the show, and we love it. We got to see Tom recently, and it was so great to hang out with him some. So look forward to that. Plenty of other good stuff. We've got our show with our friends at Chewy coming up, Trish. That was a great show we
That was
recorded
such a good
all about
show.
pets and pets at work. So check that out. And everything else on the network as well. It's all at hrhappyhour.net, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks to Paychex again, of course. And for Trish Steed, my name's Steve Bose. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next time. And bye for now.